In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In the city of Rome, there is a church known as the Church of Santa Maria della Concessione, but the local people call it the Church of the Bones. In the basement of that church is a tomb where the Franciscan friars who are responsible for that parish are buried. There are four rooms, and in three of those four rooms, the bones simply lie there, disconnected. But in the fourth room, the bones are held together by wire and clothed with friars' robes and found seated or standing. One of the more amazing things is that the soil on which this church is built is not Italian soil. It was soil that was brought from the Holy Land to express the hope that the very soil which could not contain the Christ could also not contain the bodies of his believers. It is this strange and macabre scene which expresses a great hope, but also calls the living to a new reality. For a sign appears next to these bodies, now held together by wire, and the sign reads this: "As you now are, we once were." As we now are, you shall be. The writer of Ecclesiastes expresses exactly the same reality, a reality which we live out on this Lenten journey. Just 2 days ago on Ash Wednesday, the ashes were placed upon our foreheads with those words, "Remember, O man, you are dust, and to dust you shall return." But this is Friday, and the ashes are gone from our foreheads, but not from our hearts, still marked with an ashen cross. Our mortality remains forever with us as we continue this Lenten pilgrimage, a pilgrimage which calls us to remember who is God and who is not. We live in a culture which tells us that we are to be God in so many subtle ways, that we are to control our present, that we are to control our future. Just think of the advertisements you see, particularly from, for example, financial houses, where you see bright young people investing their considerable incomes in order to retire at a time when some of you are looking at graduating from seminary. And then we look at our own lives, and we see that we truly have no control over the present, let alone the future. Ask any Sem4 who is now awaiting call night, when his future and his family's future will be determined by God as others decide where he will serve. Lent calls us away from this sinful stupidity of trusting in lives of our own making. It calls us back to the God who gives life, the God who speaks to us through the preacher in Ecclesiastes. "Consider the work of God, for who can make straight what he has made crooked? In the day of prosperity, be joyful. But in the day of adversity, consider, surely God has appointed one as well as the other, so that man can find nothing that will happen after him." Each day of this Lenten pilgrimage is a day of life. Whether it is lived in prosperity or adversity, it is from God, and it is lived within God's great design. For it brings us to the source of life. Consider what Ecclesiastes says next. I have seen all things in my days of vanity. There is a just man who perishes in his righteousness, and there is a wicked man who prolongs his life in his wickedness. This Lenten pilgrimage, you see, leads us to the ultimate paradox of Lent. In fact, the ultimate paradox of existence, that life comes to the wicked and death to the righteous. Take a look in the mirror if you want to see the one of whom the writer of Ecclesiastes speaks when he speaks of the wicked. It is so easy as preachers to spend our days contemplating the sins of others and analyzing those sins, all under the pretense that we might be able to better proclaim the law to them, that we might then be able to proclaim the great and glorious gospel and the absolution of sin. Sin is always something for us that is out there, something which shapes and informs the lives of others. But Lent, and this Lenten pilgrimage, does not permit us just to see the mortality of humanity in general or of others in particular. It calls us to see our own mortality, a mortality enfleshed in our wickedness, our sinful playing God. This is the ultimate paradox of Lent. There is not only the wicked man who continues to live, and as you look in that mirror, you see who he is speaking of. There is also a just man who perishes in his righteousness. That which properly belongs to one has been now transferred to the other. That is what Lent is about. For the end of Lent is Holy Week. In that week, we who are now on this Lenten pilgrimage will begin with the hosannas of one Sunday and end with the alleluias of the next. But in between, in the middle, is that great journey we must take with him. It is a journey that includes an upper room, a crowd, a trial, a scourging, whips, thorns, nails, a cross hung between two thieves. There we see this man, the only just, righteous man, receive unto himself the weight of our wickedness, that great transfer, till we hear him cry out on the cross as he bears the weight of the sin of the world. My God, why have you forsaken me? All your wickedness and mine became his, and all his righteousness has now become yours. And this is your Lenten pilgrimage. It is led through days of prosperity and days of adversity, yet it is always a sacramental journey. A life which began in the watery grave of baptism. A life that is fed with his own supper. It is a journey that began in that watery grave and leads to another grave, but to a grave which has been broken once and forever by the power of Easter. Lent is never a journey to despair, but to the glorious hope of the believer, to the resurrected Christ, to the alleluias that ring out again with the Easter lilies around the altar. The dead in the Church of the Bones in Rome speak to the living, as you now are, we once were. As we now are, you shall be. But our Christ speaks a greater message to his believers, to the living and to the dead. As you now are, I once was. As I now am, you shall be. God's blessings on your pilgrimage. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.